Let's read through our text for this morning. It's going to be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Now we look at this particular section of Scripture, and it really encompasses every aspect of our salvation. We look and we see the election of the Father, the redemption that comes from the Son, and we see the sealing which takes place through the Holy Spirit. We look and I see where Paul begins, and he begins by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." As Paul begins to write his thoughts, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he begins with praise. As we look at this incredible section of doctrine, we see that Paul begins with praise. You could just picture him sitting down to write these things, and the Holy Spirit is putting all of these things upon his heart. And as he's thinking of these things, as he's penning these things, getting ready to write these things, he just begins by just praising him. You see, when you begin to study theology, when you begin to look at our salvation and the details of our salvation and how it is that it came about, you cannot help but praise him. You can't help but just begin with just worship, with every ounce of strength that you have, to praise him. The subject matter that we're looking at this morning is such that the only proper response is to praise him and to find ourselves in such awe of the God of our salvation that we find our hearts overflowing with joy, such that if you were to go home this morning or this afternoon and talk to your neighbor, I pray that the joy that you would experience this morning as far as in the greatness of your God and in the greatness of your salvation, that it would be inexpressible. You would not be able to describe to your neighbor the joy that you have in Christ and in our salvation. That is the response that it ought to have in each one of us. That's how we ought to respond, with praise and adoration and joy and looking at the greatness of our God and all that he has done for us. It's adoration and awe and wonder and amazement and all that God has blessed us with. It's like we're going to go through verse after verse, and it's like this unending waterfall of eternal blessings that are found in Christ, and God has just placed us there under this waterfall, and we look at these things, and this is what it's talking about as far as every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You get to a point of looking at our salvation, looking at what God's done for us, and it's just as if a waterfall of blessings is pouring upon us, and God just saying, sit here and just enjoy this, and look and see that it never stops in what God has done for us. When God says that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, what does he mean? Well, there's not enough time for us to even scratch the surface of covering the infinite magnitude of the blessings that are found in Christ. In fact, when we've been in eternity for 10 million years, I assure you, you'll find yourself still in wonder and awe of the new spiritual blessings that we're joyfully partaking in each and every day. It just doesn't stop. Yet Christ has told us that He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But Paul gives us in these few verses here some of the spiritual blessings that come upon us and how sweet they are. Look at verse 4. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He chose us. God chose us. And I've talked with people and they've said, I don't believe in God choosing us. I don't believe in election. I don't believe in predestination. I don't believe with this stuff. And you look and how can you not? I mean, you look at the text here and it says that He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world. When we look at the title of this message, the heart of salvation, what we're going to find is that the heart of our salvation is God entirely. It's not part God and part you and part me. It's not that God does His part and we do our part and somehow together we work this thing out. We'll see that the heart of our salvation is all and entirely God. I don't know if you've thought this way in the past, but just look with me at these texts. It's so clear. We look and He says that He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, meaning before God ever created the world. Before He ever created anything at all, He knew Bill Acton. Knew him. Knew Michelle Gleason. Knew Roger Gregston. Knew each and every one of us as believers, knew us, specifically knew us. Not only did He know us, but He chose you unto salvation. It wasn't by chance, it wasn't by good luck, it wasn't by good deeds. It was before He had created anything, before the foundations of the world, He chose us. That's glorious to us. And it's something for us where we're not taught this frequently enough, but I plead with you this morning to look at the text to see that it is so clear here that our salvation is all of God. He is just, it's like one thing after another thing saying it is all God. It's all Him. It was before the earth was ever created, before you had done anything good or bad, that election might stand, that God's purposes might stand. It's incredible to think of these things. There's other texts that talk about this, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That the same word used, you're a chosen generation. Chose you. Why? So that you could proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness, in which each one of us were, into His marvelous light. Or John 15 says, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Christ says, I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. When did He do it? Before the foundations of the world. 2 Thessalonians talks about this in chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chose you. I just get amazed at the character of our God of thinking that before He ever created anything, He chose me. And I assure you that it is not because He looked into the future and saw how good I was going to be. Because if he were to look into the future, he would see sin and that continually. It wasn't that God looked in the future and saw a decision that I was going to make, and therefore, based on that decision, he therefore chose me. It was according to his purpose, according to his doing, according to him working in me, according to him drawing me. And as we look at this text, we'll see that in the heart of salvation, that God has worked it out to where he receives all the glory and all the honor. There will be no boasting for any one of us in God's kingdom. You see here that it says, in our text here this morning, it says that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then we look on in this text and it says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He didn't choose us because we were holy and without blame. It tells us that he chose us so that we would become holy and without blame. It wasn't that God looked and said, oh, that's a holy person, therefore I'll choose him. We see that he chose us so that he would work in us to make us holy and without blame. And that's exactly what he's done. 1 Peter tells us that you are redeemed. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so what God's done for us is he's made us so that we are without spot, without blemish, or without any such thing. No sin whatsoever. And it was God that did this. He redeemed us for that purpose. We looked last week at the atonement. And all of our sins placed upon Christ and his blood shed for us to be the perfect payment of all of our debt. We see that God has worked it out to where we would just praise him because he did it. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Predestined us to adoption. This means that God determined before the foundations of this world that you would be adopted into the family of God as his son or daughter. The greatness that this entails is far more than we can comprehend. We're given an inheritance that includes all of the blessings, all of the riches, all of the endless love that the Father has for the Son. It's radical to think about. You think of God the Father's love for God the Son. You think of the blessings that are poured upon God the Son. You think of the position that God the Son has. And yet we see that we have an inheritance made heirs of Christ, and we've received those blessings from the Father, sonship, adopted into his family with all of the rights and with all of the privileges that come with sonship. He's done that. We see that in this particular section, when you look on it in verse 6, it tells us, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, as we go through this, we're going to find this reiterated over and over again. You look and he first says, I chose you. Why? Well, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestined us. Why? Because it was according to the good pleasure of his will. What do we think on such things? According to the good pleasure of his will, he predestined you to be adopted into his family. According to the good pleasure of his will. Can you picture just a smile on the Lord God's face? The joy that's there within his heart as he predestines us to bring us into his family according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. As we look at this, we see that our salvation is all God. It's all him. From blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, to choosing us to be holy and without blame, to adopting or predestining us to adoption according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. We praise him. We praise him. We look, and for all eternity, we will be in heaven, and we will be praising him due to his grace. Praising him without ceasing, praising him, exalting him, worshiping him because of his grace. And we do that today, don't we? When we worship, we don't sing, you know, it's all about me. I'm not going to sing for you. But you look, and we don't do that. We don't sing songs, or we ought not to sing songs that are man-centered. We don't sing songs as far as, it's all me, I did it, look what I did, yoo-hoo, we did it. We don't do that. We say, all glory and all honor and all power, it belongs to you. We sing of his grace. We'll sing that in a few moments as far as his amazing grace and how sweet it is that it saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. And God says that he adopted us, he predestined us for adoption to the praise of the glory of his grace, so that we would sit back and say, God, it was all you. It wasn't anything good that you ever found in me, but it was solely all you, all your grace, all your mercy. And he's made it to abound towards us. His grace is not where it's just, well, I've given you a little bit of it. No, it tells us that his grace abounds towards us. It pours on us. That picture of us being under a waterfall and the blessings coming upon us, unending blessings. Well, it's unending grace, and it's abounding on us as much as it could possibly come. An infinite amount of grace. It cannot be improved upon whatsoever. In verse 7, find again, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of his grace. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. You have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's, if you think about it, like, if I give $500 towards something, that's a big deal. If you want to look at our bank account, you will find that that is a very, very big deal right now. If Bill Gates gives $500, not a big deal. Why? Because according to his riches, that's very little. According to our riches, much. And we look, and God doesn't give grace to us as far as a little bit. It's according to the riches of his grace. And you think of God, and he is absolutely gracious, perfectly gracious. And when God gives us his grace, abounding towards us, according to the riches of his grace, it's more than we could comprehend as people. Titus 2:14 says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Christ's blood was shed, and we have redemption. The debt has been paid in full, been purchased through his blood. Pardon's been made. We've been forgiven of all of our sins. We've been declared righteous. We've been justified. What a position you and I have in Christ. Think of the depths of your sin, and then think, the debt has been paid in full because of the work of Christ on the cross. The debt paid in its entirety, paid in full. Can it get better than that? Been purchased through his blood. Redeemed you. He purchased you through his blood. Pardon's been made. You've been forgiven of all of your sins. You have been declared righteous. Declared as if you had never sinned at all, but declared righteous with a righteousness that comes from Christ. Declared righteous. You've been justified. Amazing when you think about it. Look at verse 9 with me. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Do you remember that time where you learned of the grace of God and the work of Christ on the cross? The gospel message with such clarity as far as Christ died on the cross for our sins. The Son of God died on the cross for our sins so that all of our sins could be placed upon Him, all of His righteousness placed upon us. A gospel that is by faith alone and Christ alone to the glory of God alone. A salvation that is entirely of Him, and you believed upon Him. You thought about it and you thought, that's why I need that. I am a sinner. I'm in desperate need of grace. I need to find grace, to find rest for my soul, and it is only in Christ that that can come. So clearly made known to you as far as this desire to follow Him, the Holy Spirit working in your heart, changing you. Changing the way you think, making you who are in darkness come to a place of light, making you who were dead alive. And you think of that point of salvation in which you believed, and it tells us there that He made known to us the mystery of His will. He did it. God did it. God made known to you the gospel message, the greatness of our salvation, in whom you needed to trust, and it says, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Can any of us take credit for it? No. You look at this passage and it goes right back to the same things that we've been looking at according to the riches of His grace. This is according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. God did it. Entirely of Him. God did it. Look at verse 10 with me, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. He purposed these things according to His good pleasure, so that in the fullness of time, He would bring you and He would bring me into eternity with Him. This is something where it's not, well, if everything works out right. I mean, if you do your part, and I'll do my best to do my part, and if everything works out right, then maybe we might meet at some point. No, you find it where God is just, it is just there, and it is clear. He says, according to the good pleasure of His will, which He purposed in Himself, that these things would happen. It gets even better. Look at verse 11. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. He has given you an inheritance because He predestined you. Once again, we find that same word coming up again. According to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. This is a huge God that we serve. He is not frustrated. He's not a God that says, I hope it works out. He tells us that He's done these things. He's given you this inheritance because it was predestined. Before the foundations of the world, He predestined you. He chose you. He elected you, as we find in Scripture over and over and over again. And when He predestines you and says, this will happen, it is according to the purpose of Him, of God, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Everything. Everything God works according to the counsel of His will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now we see that there is a trusting in Christ, a faith that is there as far as saying this morning, I believe. I mean, as far as how is it that you're saved? Have you ever had someone come to you and say, how do you know? How do you know for sure? How do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If God were to come to you and say, why should I let you into heaven? What would your response be? I've asked that question to people before, and their response sometimes is things like, well, I try to do the best I can. I live a good life. I go to church. I would tell them, you know, like, I pray. I tell them I came from a good family. You look and you see here where God is saying it's not because of anything that you've done, but it's all entirely of Him. We trust in the cross. We trust in the work of Christ. If you're to ask me, how do you know for sure you're going to heaven? It is not based on any good thing that I have ever done. It's not based on anything that I'm able to continue to do. It's not based on my strength to endure to the end. It's based on a God who has shown mercy. It's based on a God who has saved a wretched sinner like me, placed my sins upon Christ on the cross, and has given me the righteousness that comes from Christ. It is entirely of God, entirely. And so we say, I trust that, I believe that. And God says that you, who first trusted in Christ, who sit here this morning and say, I believe that, I'm with you. I believe my salvation is entirely of Him. I trust entirely in the work of Christ on the cross. God says, it is to the praise of His glory. It's to the praise of His glory. You at the same time say, and all the glory goes to you. It's not based on my ability to make the right decision. It's based on a God who has drawn me. It's based on a God who has changed me. It's based on a God who has done everything entirely for my salvation and for your salvation. Look at verse 13. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. It finishes in the same way that it started. We saw that our text began with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it finishes with, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. I look and I'm so thankful that my security is not in me. My security is not based in how well I can perform to the very end. Neither should it be for you. I was talking with someone at the church and they were telling me that they were listening to a discussion of some different people within our church, and they said, for the first time in my Christian life, I feel secure in Christ. You ought to. What a position it is to be in Christ, to be found in Him. Security that's there. I can't imagine being a Christian and waking up and wondering if you're saved. I see Christians where they go down the aisle every week and they pray the sinner's prayer over and over again because they think that they maybe lost their salvation in the previous week because of some sin that they committed. What a... It goes so entirely against Scripture to think that way. To look and to say, I better pray again this week because I sinned. I better pray again to receive Christ because I can't live up to the standard. Think of our text this morning. Chosen from the foundations of the world. Predestined to adoption, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and all of it is to the praise of His glory. The sealing that has taken place where God has made it so that you will spend eternity with Him, but it's not based on your own good works, your own efforts. It's based on the Holy Spirit who has sealed you until the day of redemption. You hear people say, oh, so you believe in once saved, always saved. No, is that what you're saying? Is you once saved, always saved? Well, then you can live however you want to live. I mean, if I'm saved based on my faith in Christ, then I can do whatever I want to do and I'm still saved. And my response to someone that would think like that is, no, think of yourselves here this morning. You look at our text and it says that He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He chose you in Him before the foundations of the world, that you would be holy and without blame. In love, He predestined you to adoption according to the good pleasure of His will. He made you accepted to the beloved. He's you redeemed you through his blood. He's given you forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He makes them abound towards you. He's going to bring you together with him in heaven. He's predestined you to obtain an inheritance. He sealed you until the day of redemption. Does it make you just want to go sin? Or does it make you want to praise him? Does it make you want to worship him? Does it make you want to just live for him with every ounce of your being because you realize, I didn't do any of it on my own. It was all of God. He did it. I deserved eternity in hell, and he's brought me to a place of eternity with him, sealed me until the day of redemption, not by anything in me, but all of him. I have this inheritance. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And any person indwelt by the Holy Spirit in a right frame of mind would look and say, I love him. I desire to obey him. I desire to live for him. I desire to go and tell people in Africa, to the uttermost parts of the world, this great news of a God who redeems his people. I love him. He can't be improved upon. It doesn't make you want to go and live like the world. You may say, but I know someone that was once a Christian and they went to church, they did all those things, but then they just totally fell away. Well, if they totally fell away, either God will chasten those that he loves. His sheep belong to him. He will go and he'll bring that sheep and bring them back to a place of repentance. Or it makes evident that they were never a Christian. They played the part. They acted like it. They sang the songs. They did all the things. But God says they went out from us because they weren't of us. If they were of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out to make manifest that they were never of us. They never were of us. See, because the Christian is sealed until the day of redemption. Is there sin? Yes. Sin on a regular basis. I know the depths of my own sin. I know I sin on a regular basis. The fact of the matter is, though, is that I'm brought to a place of repentance and thankfulness and worship to a God where sin abounds, grace abounds much more in the believer. What a great thing it is to look and see that he has sealed us. He's given us this guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is the longest sentence in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 through verse 14. The longest sentence in Scripture, a continual sentence that tells us that the heart of our salvation is all entirely, completely of God. The atonement, it was him. Our faith, a gift from him. Our salvation, entirely from beginning to end of him. And so I reiterate again this morning. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He chose you from the foundations of the world. Adopted you. Redeemed you. Sealed you. And then once again, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. We find it reiterated over and over again, and always the praise goes back to him. Always the glory goes back to him. You and I sit here as believers this morning, saved by grace, but it is a grace that is entirely of God. The right response is worship. The right response is praise. The right response is to love him and desire to glorify him with every ounce within you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, it does not get better than that as far as looking at our God and our salvation. Will you pray with me? Lord God, it is all entirely by your grace. Lord, you put people in our lives to pray for us. You brought someone to share the gospel with us, or you've given us your word so we could read it with such clarity and understand your will. Our salvation is totally and completely, entirely of you. And we respond with praise. To think that we deserved eternity in hell, and yet to see that you called us. Lord, even before the foundations of this world, you chose us, you predestined us. These are glorious, praiseworthy thoughts. You place them in Scripture so that we can look and see that our salvation is entirely of you. And then to respond rightly to such great truths. I pray that we would do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.